Hello and welcome to episode 18 of Brits in the End Zone. A very special week for us because we're headed out to the promised land, not Jerusalem, but but America to watch a live NFL game in the States, which we're all very excited about.
It's about as vague as where Charles lives.
Where are we going? We're staying in DC. We're over for a wedding in Maryland. The game is in Baltimore.
How excited can you be for the Ravens against Dolphins?
I'm ecstatic. I don't even care that the game might not necessarily be an absolute bonanza or anything like that. It's an NFL game in America.
You're not going to remember it the next day, Charles.
I'll try not to get as drunk as I did this year in Wembley for the Jags game. But
I'm looking forward just to being surrounded by real passionate American fans who are eating lots of hot dogs and going nuts.
Precisely.
That's what I'm ready for.
The atmosphere. And
don't confuse Charles for the day.
I'll try. Very special episode we have. We will later on be calling in Alex Gelhar, who is an NFL expert, NFL fantasy expert. I don't know if that's a thing, but I think it is, because he's literally made a career out of it.
Well, the funny thing is they used to call themselves experts, but then they kind of had to kind of tone it down a little bit and just go down to analysts. But obviously they're very knowledgeable. They know everything
about
the
NFL. We'll call them an expert. We'll go mental. So that's an exciting part of the show, which we'll get to later. But let's kick off this week, as we do with every week, with our favourite question of the week. This week comes from Kelly in Penzance. I've always wanted to go there. Could never face the drive. The question from Kelly is, after T.Y. Hilton called out his offensive line, which player needs to be called out for their poor performance so far?
So that was
pretty mental, wasn't
it? Yeah, like Hilton after the game, they obviously got shut out by the Jags. Hilton just came out to a reporter and basically said the offensive line need to learn how to block.
Yeah, but that's a fair point. He's a top wide receiver at a team. He's not able to. The quarterback's not getting enough protection to get him the ball, so he would be frustrated. Probably not the best thing to do for morale in the dressing room. But
and are you going to pick on those offensive linemen?
Yeah. And also, they were playing the legit Jags defense on an odd week. So
you've managed to sneak it in. Yeah. But there we go. I mean,
they got it out of the way early.
They got 10 sacks.
Charles, 2 minutes, 10.
Which player would you say has to be called out for this season?
I'm going to say it, but I think maybe he might be one of the ones you were going to say potentially. But Matt Ryan. Was he the one?
I hadn't actually had anyone listed down. I was going to just kind of do it off the cuff.
Fair dues. But Matt Ryan, I thought after such an incredible year last year, that throwing so many touchdowns, I know it was a career year for him, but the fact that he's taken such a downgrade this year and not lived up to the, you know, even close to last year has been slightly disappointing, especially with the weapons they have. They're still, you know, in a good position to make the playoffs, but he's been slightly disappointing. A shout out to the entire Patriots defense as well.
I think all fantasy owners of Matt Ryan will definitely agree with you. I, being one of them, will absolutely concur. Greeny, who's your player?
Yeah, I've gone Jay Cutler, and you know, it's never sad. It's always sad to see an injury, but not when it's Jay Cutler and he's playing so poor. And we're about to see the Dolphins Ravens. So he was really affecting the play of the Dolphins. He was stymieing a lot of the wide receivers. Landry couldn't get over 15 yards a game. That's not correct. But about 50 yards a game.
Ajayi
really wasn't unleashed to his full potential because they just couldn't move the ball down the field. Suddenly, you know, Matt Moore comes in. He really recovers the team, gets 2 touchdowns late on in the game. And I think it's just going to breathe some life into this Dolphins team. So maybe Jay Cutler can just re-retire.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair.
JP, who are you saying?
I picked this guy as one of my cheeky choices last week because he's had such great opportunity this year but hasn't been able to do anything with it. He's a rookie, so it might be a tad harsh, but he's had a less than effective start to his NFL career. Zay Jones.
Yeah.
He was a very high draft pick. He was picked in the second round, I think 37th overall. And just some of his stats for this year, he's had 32 targets. Only 7 receptions.
Bloody hell.
For 83 yards and 0 touchdowns.
Is it really bad throwing or can he not catch?
I can't. I mean,
Tyrod Taylor's not. I can't say anything bad about Tyrod. No.
He is cool.
You mean T-Mobile? That's
But I imagine not all of them were catchable, but I mean,
you'd certainly
hope for a better catch rate than that. That is really poor.
You would. But I think also just a couple of other players. I mean, Marshawn Lynch is obviously being a big disappointment. But one from the defensive side, I've been quite disappointed with Marcus Peters.
Yeah.
I think Jonathan Peters, to be fair.
Well, we're not cousins, but did you know Marshawn Lynch and Marcus Peters are cousins?
I did not know that.
Oh. Yeah. Right. And
have you made that up?
No. I found out
about Marcus Peters.
I found that out today. So because Lynch is being suspended by a week for the NFL for pushing one of the officials, Marcus Peters is actually going to be sort of like testifying for on behalf of Lynch to say that he shouldn't be suspended. And it turns out that they're cousins, and it's just nepotism. Oh, right. And yeah. So Marcus Peters being the cornerback for the Chiefs.
Oh, of course. Yeah, sorry.
But I think the Chiefs' defence overall has taken a massive step backwards. I think that has got a lot to do with Eric Berry being injured after week one. That he's their safety, and he has, you know, their whole defence has struggled without him there.
I thought you were going to call him his safety blanket.
Well, I was going to try, and I pulled back from that joke. But thanks.
Andy Reid to me seems like a South Park character.
the policeman,
just someone in South
Mr.
Park.
Mr. Garrison.
I don't know. I never watched South Park.
great reference.
So what happened? So what happened in NFL this week? We're recording again on the Monday because we're heading over to the States, so we aren't able to talk about the massive win the Eagles were about to have against the Redskins. But what did happen this Sunday? So one of the interesting things that we noticed was that there were seven teams who did not score an offensive touchdown, which tied the record. That's pretty crazy, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, on Red Zone, you kept talking about how there were touchdowns for the defense, so many non-offensive touchdowns, but that's a pretty crazy stat.
Yeah, it was mad. I mean, overall, like, bear in mind, fantasy football is based on skill players. I mean, fantasy, like, so many fantasy teams ended up with about 30 points because no one seemed to do anything. It was just all the defense.
There were just
crazy.
A lot of field goals.
Yeah.
Field goal after field goal.
And that's what we're all really here for.
Don't want to see the one-handed catches.
Well, we had a point after by, and we may get to this later, well, but wasn't it one of the safety?
Yeah,
for,
the safety for the Cowboys.
The Cowboys. Jeff Heath. Dan Bailey got injured.
Yeah, Dan Bailey got injured after the first few minutes, and his first one hit the post and went in.
What I want to see more of. It's like when a footballer, midfielder, or striker goes in goal.
Phil Neville going in goal.
John
like
O'Shea.
Yeah, I think you should get extra points for hitting post and in. Like, a goal always looks better when it goes barring in football in the Prem.
That would make it interesting.
But that was quite good.
Speaking of teams that didn't score, of course, in London, the Cardinals arrived and failed to score anything against the Rams.
Did they arrive?
Physically they did, but maybe not in terms of their performance. But the Rams are having some success in London. And of course, Carson Palmer is now out for the season. So generally not a great day for the Cardinals. Greeny, what do you make of that game?
Well, you know, obviously Palmer going down really affects what they're able to do. Before the game, we were looking at them like, you know, old age resurgence, you know, just the youth coming. We have Fitzgerald there having a 140-yard game last week. We have the return of Adrian Peterson, and we have Palmer going back to his gunslinging ways. Now it looks like, you know, the whole team should retire and go to an
I just
OAP.
Like a retirement home in Arizona.
Yeah. I just like that it brings up another opportunity to say Colin Kaepernick should go and join a team, team will not sign him.
Yeah, no, it is a shame because obviously not just us, but everyone's talking about Adrian Peterson. Like you said, last week had a huge first game. Everyone's really excited. And now that's the
perhaps
end of that.
He's performing much like the Jags defense kind of every other week. So we'll look out for him next week. It was nice to see the tribute to Kevin Cadle. Watched that. It was quite emotional, I'd say. Was it Neil Reynolds who's been kind of keeping everyone updated on Twitter? And I think I saw something saying that's going to be on demand soon. You can kind of watch that back. But a fitting tribute to
absolutely.
Kevin.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Last week we asked the incredibly important question of who was going to get their first win. Was it going to be the Browns? Was it going to be the 49ers? Or was it going to be the soon-to-be-married man in our fantasy league, Lee? And it looks like the two NFL teams weren't able to compete with Lee.
The Browns came mighty close.
They did. They did come close. JP, what have you got to say about that?
What can you say? Like, if you can't get a win in overtime against one of the poorer teams in the entire NFL, is it going to come?
I don't think the Titans are one of the poorer teams. I think you did very well defensively yesterday because they aren't actually that bad of a team.
They had a quarterback that couldn't move out of the pocket.
He wasn't fully healthy.
They had a running game that wasn't working.
Don't belittle the Cleveland Browns run defense.
I'm saying the running game for the Titans wasn't working.
Yeah, okay.
And they had a wide receiver in Eric Decker that didn't catch a ball.
Yeah, shout out to Christian, who started Eric Decker over Amari Cooper this week. So that's
we'll get on to Amari Cooper later.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, the Browns, it's just really disheartening.
The win's going to come on that performance.
I don't know.
There's going to be a win.
Also, I actually thought, because it got down to just 2 minutes left of overtime. I didn't actually know there was a two-minute warning in overtime, which that was fun to find out. But I thought actually you would avoid defeat, but actually just get a tie. Just no one winning overtime, and that at least would have been something.
I think that's even worse, actually.
Hugh Jackson's 1-21. When's it time to go?
That's
And also the Browns haven't been leading in any game this season, which is fantastic.
Could you look more excited when you say that?
And sitting next to you, a very dejected JP, seeing that go through, and you know the tying kick when he kind of hit it very weirdly. He hit it wide and it came back very Roberto Carlos-esque against
who sucked
Le Tournois against
Zane
France.
Gonzalez.
Who am I talking about?
Yeah, suck up was the Titans.
Oh, the Titans. Yeah.
Same game.
In that game, Joe Thomas, he recently became the first player to have. He played in 10,000 consecutive snaps from being drafted, and unfortunately, he got injured for the first time in his career. It was a tricep injury, I believe.
Yeah, it's just come out that he's going to miss the rest of the season.
I mean, that's terrible news. But yeah. I was watching the game on Red Zone, and my girlfriend Jade was kind of reading some of the stuff going on at the bottom, trying to keep up. And she saw it said Joe Thomas brackets triceps, and she was like, "That's a weird nickname," because she noticed it said Joe Thomas triceps, thinking that's what they call him, and it said Jay Cutler the chest, and. She thought they were just like these American nicknames rather than their injuries, which was...
Sounds like she knows more about NFL than I do.
That'd be a great nickname for Cutler the Chest.
Yeah. But that was a bit of fun with that as well.
We briefly mentioned the injury to Dan Bailey, the Cowboys kicker, earlier, which led to their safety having to take the kicks. But we have to mention in that game, Ezekiel Elliott, the whole season it's been toing and froing. Is he banned? Is he not? What's going on? Doesn't matter, because when he plays, he goes absolutely huge. And Greeny, you were on the sore end of a Ezekiel Elliott. Were you two playing each other? You were. Charles, you're a Ezekiel Elliott owner.
I am indeed.
42 points in our league, wasn't it?
I mean, you're watching it, and then after about 30 seconds, maybe Zeke runs in, gets a touchdown, he's on 8 points, and then, a few minutes later, he gets his second touchdown. You're thinking, have some self-respect, 49ers.
There's another 3.5 quarters to go.
You're 0-6, and yet, don't let a guy run 75 yards down the sideline get another touchdown. Have some self-respect.
Yeah, it was wonderful to watch, especially that that 80-yard run.
And after the first half, he was on track for, was it 75 points? Although he never made that.
Well, there we go. So count yourself lucky.
I feel relieved.
I saw quite a funny meme today going around saying that they're called the 49ers because they can't reach the 50-yard line, which is a great bit of banter there.
Worryingly accurate. Jay Cutler, we briefly mentioned him. The chest, as we'll now refer to him, of course, is injured. But we've said could be a bit of a godsend to the Dolphins, who we will be seeing later on this week. Kenny Stills picking up some form. I'm an owner of Jarvis Landry, who we kind of said is starting to come good this year. What do you make of this Dolphins team, JP? What about Jai as well?
It's a strange one because Matt Moore looked good towards the end of last season, and everyone assumed that he'd just be the starter once Tannehill went down with his injury. And for some unknown reason, I mean, Adam Gase must be cursing the day he decided to bring Cutler back on. But it's kind of a godsend that Cutler's now injured. Matt Moore looked good when he came on, and he could look like he'd get the offense going. Should hopefully bring Jay Ajayi back to life as well. We should see some good run game from him on Thursday.
Yeah,
and I like it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the Dolphins as a whole will just be a lot better going forward.
Yeah.
Having said that, though, they have a pretty good record this year.
Yeah,
they're doing all right, aren't they?
Yeah, that whole division of kind of somehow doing really well. Even the Jets and the Bills are doing really well, and without actually playing overly impressively.
Always a good sign. We always say that in football over here. If you're a
win,
team
when you're not
win,
playing well,
exactly. Yeah. Swing when you're winging. Whatever it is. Winning, not winging. Don't swing while you're winging. I don't even know what that would look like.
Swing by the wings.
Maybe you should.
Well, that's the episode title sorted.
Charles, we're going to cut you to about 1 second about the Jags, but Fournette was out and you played well.
Fournette was out, Cam Robinson was out, Brandon Linder was out, Allen Robinson's out. Four best players up there.
But the win was in.
And we got another 10 sacks, which equaled our record that we set earlier in the season. The NFL, that means we got double-digit sacks twice in a season, which has only ever been done twice before. The last time that happened was the 1986 Bears, and they are
legends. This reminds me of when I used to work in advertising, and the client would try and make you fit so much into an ad that was like beyond what you were allowed, and he's just like getting as
you
much
don't actually
stats.
Hear any of it.
Yeah, getting as many stats in here.
Basically,
Charles.
the Jags are good. The Jags defense is absolutely
they do look they're very
unbelievable.
Fun to watch as well.
They are a fun team.
They're not going to be legit for fantasy this week though.
They're on a bye. Yeah, and, which is great because that's an even week and they've been losing those and you can't lose when you're on a bye. So happy days.
You're looking into it far too much. But yeah, you were playing the Colts though. Who haven't been doing too well.
But yeah, we get to play them again. So because they're divisional. So you know, when we play them again.
Can we play you every week?
Yes.
Exactly. Well, not every week, but twice is the answer to that. I'll tell you what, the most exciting part of Red Zone for me this week was the Bears and that the guy on the defensive team, Eddie Jackson, just getting two touchdowns, which was amazing to see. I love a defensive
not
pick
six. Not
often
you see one player getting two pick sixes.
Yeah.
I think it was the first ever time that someone's returned two touchdowns from more than 70 yards in NFL history.
Really?
Same game.
Yeah,
so
because they were really long
quite a feat
ones,
for
they?
The rookie.
Even nicer when it's against Cam Newton, I think. There's something quite nice about that.
Well, he needs another controversy to kind of get him going again.
Yeah. I think wasn't Eddie Jackson the highest? He caught more passes than any other Bears player that yesterday. He caught more than any other wide receivers.
Sounds like it could be
makes
true.
Makes sense because as Greeny pointed out to me yesterday, Trubisky won that game for the Bears with only four completions.
There we go.
There were a lot of teams that kind of didn't quite perform. You mentioned that. The Bengals, AJ Green and Mixon, no touches at all in the second half. Again, fancy impact on that. The Packers as well. Bennett being their player with their most yards with 17.
Hundy was really poor, but you know we'll see what happens with him later.
Seahawks, 12 unsuccessful attempts within the 10-yard line. So these are big teams.
One good thing to see this week out of the Patriots Falcons game was the Falcons actually targeting Julio in the red zone. He had three targets, and surprisingly enough, he actually scored a touchdown.
Was that his first of the season?
Yeah.
And it was a great touchdown as well because it looked like Malcolm Butler was about to catch it, and Julio
just grabbed it,
out,
didn't he?
Grabs it out of his hand.
Yeah. No,
so Jones and McCoy both of their first touchdowns of the season this week.
McCoy's first touchdown.
Yeah, first touchdown.
First one and two.
Well, there you go. Absolutely.
Yeah. And there were some really amazing celebrations this week as well. I mean,
I saw the hide and seek.
That was with Juju Smith-Schuster and Le'Veon Bell Steelers. After Juju Smith-Schuster got his touchdown. Fair play, Sir Greeny. You called him as your cheeky choice. And he delivered. And then he delivered his celebration as well. It was hilarious. I mean, that was right up there with Robbie Anderson as well. His touchdown this week. He just jumped over, went in the crowd, feet up on the chair in front, all looking all relaxed, arms behind the head and just like chilling in the crowd, cheering his own touchdown.
It was quite early on, wasn't it, I think?
It was quite early on in the game because they ended up coming back and getting beaten. But
So for the Steelers, for that touchdown celebration, does Martavius Bryant just kind of walk off on a sulk? Because you don't see him in the celebrations.
He was still hiding. No one found him.
He won the real game.
Yeah. That's the only reason he wants to trade, because they won't let him celebrate with them. That's
apparently on Twitter he came out and said, you know, I'm so much better than Juju Smith-Schuster. You know,
really?
I should be there. Yeah,
I didn't see that.
He did.
I'm loving the social media interaction. I saw Tariq Cohen, the backup running back of the Bears, kind of commented on a post about is it Jackson that we were just talking about, the defensive player, saying, does he make more money for this? if you spot any kind of interaction on Instagram or Twitter, let us know. I quite like looking out for those. Give us a shout. I think that's kind of the main summary of this week. But Charles, do you want to let us know any other major news in the Charles report?
Absolutely. Obviously, we're talking about injuries to quarterbacks. They're becoming all too common this season, unfortunately. Palmer looks like he's broken his shoulder, his left shoulder, but still, that's not good. And he looks like he's out for the season, and probably that might be him done for his career, which is it's a shame because he's been good this year, and it's a kind of a going out with a whimper, and
a loser.
Nice. And Jay Cutler injured, which is, he should have gone out with a whimper when he went out with a whimper the first time. And he's now come back, and hopefully he will also never play again. And go.
Think of his family.
When you say again, hopefully we Carson Palmer plays again?
Well, I don't. As I just said, if you weren't listening, okay. I don't think Carson Palmer will play again. Okay. So, yeah, get off your phone.
Greeny, what were you doing?
He was revising for his top three.
No,
lesson.
I'm just suggesting that Palmer, we want to see him play again, but we
do not want Cutler to play again. Yes, yeah. No, fair. Also, another player who is out for the season is Malik Hooker, the safety for the Colts. He's been pretty much the one shining light of the Colts season this year. He's had three interceptions, and he has just the only player in their secondary that's had any semblance of ability. And he had a really horrible injury. His knee just crumpled when one of the Jags wide receivers blocked him after he was chasing a ball carrier, and he's out. He did his MCL and his ACL, and he's out for at least 10 months, which is dead. So poor guy, and hopefully he can come back to the same level he's been playing, because that is looked like it might be quite hard to come back from. So,
but for this year, could life get any easier for the Jags?
Oh yeah, that's true. I mean, it's like Mariota will come back to fitness in the next couple of weeks. The Colts are an absolute horror show.
If the Jags don't win this division comfortably,
well,
it would be a big disappointment.
Yeah, it will be. Well, it'll be a big Bortles issue. But so, yeah, I mean, we're doing everything.
Are
we
the
can
Jags going to make it to see who you can now officially announce is the halftime performer at Super Bowl?
I think that the Jags will be able to have front row seats for Justin Timberlake. I believe that could be the case.
You've had front row seats at one of his concerts, haven't you, in the past, Charles?
Absolutely not.
Back in his
NSYNC days, we all loved a bit of JT.
This is a time where I would try and make a pun on one of his songs, but I genuinely don't know.
I can make one now and say, Charles, you've been good on the podcast, but now it's time for us to say bye.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm almost finished. We've got 21 seconds to go.
Wrong genre, wrong everything.
Is that not even him?
Fairly similar eras. Is that not him? Your knowledge of UK hip hop is really
What's
poor.
The one with so him and Madonna? I've got confused.
Not 21 seconds. That's
I've got 2 minutes to save the world or something like that.
Please,
some unit of time.
Continue with the Charles report.
end the Charles report.
Yeah, and on that note, I think it's time for JP's segment, You've Been Shamed.
So this week was a lot of fun for me. I mean, the morning glory on Friday when I...
I'm never going to get used to that. It's just a phrase to drop in.
I mean, watching the highlights of that Raiders Chiefs game, I don't really want to say it myself, but that pick of Amari Cooper. I mean, fair play.
It couldn't have gone better. We bow down to your pick there. That you can't do any better than that.
I know. I mean, and picking Dak Prescott as your overall QB2. That's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Any more you want to talk about? Or
grinning from ear to ear.
It's horrible to watch. I'm just suddenly seeing what I must seem like.
Yeah. Every week.
Yeah, exactly. Now I know why you always look at me like that.
But, I mean, Adley, man to my right, lovely Jason Witten shout.
Thank you very much.
Got to give you that one.
Thank you.
Greeny, Tyrod, Hunter Henry, they were decent shouts.
Yeah, moderate. Yeah, good.
Charlesy, we're not going to talk about you, but...
What do you mean we're not going to talk about me? What? Surely I've been shamed. I know I had an awful week this week. Oh, amazing. Happy days. Oh, don't forget what I just said.
Demaryius Thomas did have an awful game, but the man to your left also picked him.
Greeny.
Against his own team. Along with Tevin Coleman as well.
Yeah.
Oh, no one
You
was
must be shamed,
that.
What a Daniel Greene.
I am thrilled because that means Demaryius Thomas had a terrible game against my beloved Chargers.
He did. I mean, it was 9 yards.
On two receptions. Yeah.
Did Tevin Coleman even play?
16 rushing yards.
Because he was on my fantasy team. And
is that combined 24 yards between those two players?
In Greeny's defense and mine, Demaryius Thomas did get an 85 yard run called back off a very, very dubious pass interference call. So that would not necessarily
Semantics.
Give him a great game, but it would have been. Certainly not shameable, but
yeah. So there's an asterisk next to this shame.
Yeah,
no, I think we could go around looking at asterisks and throwing flags on every shame, but we shan't.
That was very, very clever.
So Greeny, Mr. Top Three, you have been shamed this week.
How does it feel, Green?
I'll take it with pride.
That's not the point. Yeah, you really shouldn't.
Time for me to mention our sponsors, who are Zing Zing, MSG-free Chinese. Don't forget, you can get 20% off your order if you use our code, which is 20bytes. Time now for us to dial in Alex Gelhart, a man who definitely wouldn't ever be shamed, I'm sure, if we included him on this game. He is our resident, and well, not ours, the NFL's resident fantasy expert. So we're going to dial him in, open a cold one, boil the kettle. It's time to hear from the man himself.
We are delighted to welcome to the show writer and editor for NFL, Alex Gelhart, friend of the show. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It's good we finally got this on. And not only friend of the show, but I'd like to think of a friend of all of you as well, since we've had beers together.
Absolutely. That was a good laugh.
We did. A friend of all of London.
A few months ago when you were over in London, and we were just thinking about starting the podcast, and here we are now.
I know, it's good to be reunited again.
But obviously you're a Packers fan, and recently your season's sort of derailed somewhat. I hate to put a downer on the conversation so early, but how are you feeling about that?
I wanted to see how Brett Hundley performed in this week, you know, the first week where he had a chance to get starters reps in practice without Aaron Rodgers, and I was quite underwhelmed with his performance. I need to go back and watch that game more closely on NFL Game Pass, because it's tough to track super closely on Sundays with so many games going on, and we're trying to work on articles and such. But he didn't look great, and I don't think the offense did anything to help him either, which was frustrating. Lots of times you see these backup quarterbacks come in, and they'll scheme up some easy rhythm passes for them. Couple slants, couple bubble screens, some nice little swing passes, and there wasn't a lot of that for Brett Hundley. So I don't think the sky is quite falling yet. I mean, they have 4 wins. If they can get, you know, 5 more, they might be in the playoff mix. So
yeah, that's true.
It's not out of the question. Yeah. But I'm certainly worried now.
Yeah, no, so you kind of like to think with, like you mentioned, making it easy for a quarterback coming in, they normally kind of settle on the tight end as a kind of an easy option. And that, whilst looking at the stat that the tight end was got the most yards this week, out of all the receivers, that doesn't actually matter, because he got 17 yards and he was your highest receiver this week. So that's kind of worrying. But the running game looked better. I mean, that's looking at the silver lining.
Yeah, Aaron Jones is fantastic. I mean, he burst onto the scene on that Thursday Night Football game when Ty Montgomery and Jamal Williams got injured, and he has been the best pure runner the Packers have had in a number of years. I mean, he's got great patience and vision behind the line of scrimmage. He's got excellent burst and balance. You see him break a lot of tackles, and he's a very exciting young player. And if they can get the passing game going with Brett Hundley, I think this offense will be at least serviceable. It will never reach the heights it was with Aaron Rodgers, but it certainly doesn't have to be a sky is falling type of scenario.
Yeah, so I actually went for Jamal Williams, not early in the draft, but one of the late round flyers, and I was expecting him to take over and relieve Ty Montgomery if he got injured. So does Jamal Williams have a role in the Packers team this season, or has Aaron Jones really locked it down?
I think Aaron Jones has locked it down. Ty Montgomery is going to pick up some scraps in the passing game, and Aaron Jones's role is to just be ready if his name gets called because of injury. He's going to struggle to see the field. I don't think he played a snap this past week, and he only played a few in the recent weeks as well.
Yeah, Alex, as a fantasy, you know, coach, manager, you've got Ty Montgomery and Jordy Nelson sort of in your on your team. What are you doing with them?
And Devontae Adams.
Yeah. Well, I think right now with Ty Montgomery, he's just a hold. He was the starter, and if anything were to happen to Aaron Jones, Ty Montgomery would fall back into a pretty big workload. It's not quite ready, you know, time to drop him yet. But if you have Nelson and Adams as well, I think you kind of just have to wait and see. They saw 10 and 9 targets in that Minnesota game when Brett Hundley filled in for Aaron Rodgers after he got injured. And I think it could be a good opportunity to buy low and throw out trade offers for both of them, actually, because they're, you know, the people that do have them might be panicking after a 13-yard and 12-yard performances against the Saints defense. But the Packers are going into their bye week. Mike McCarthy is historically a great coach coming out of the bye. So there's a good chance that they could get back on track against the Lions on Monday Night Football in 2 weeks. But that's why now's the chance to strike. I mean, you could literally probably throw peanuts at whoever has Davante Adams or Jordy Nelson and see if they bite.
Yeah, no, I've got Jordy and Davante in one of my leagues, and I was panicking this weekend, I'm not going to lie.
And I'm going to throw peanuts at you.
I was going to say, I remember when we were chatting in London when you were around, that you a couple of the players you mentioned that you thought might have a big year. One that I remember you specifically mentioned was Stephon Diggs, and he started the season really well. I was wondering if there are any other players that you were high on that you think have come to fruition, or and any that might not have done so.
Oh my gosh, I'm trying to think. You know, we talk about so many players here. It's tough to think back of who I was really hyping them. There have been some that have disappointed. Isaiah Crowell has been a big disappointment. I thought it was all going to come together. They invested in that offensive line this year. You know, it was the second year of Hugh Jackson's offense. It just, they had some weapons on the outside, but Corey Coleman getting injured and Kenny Britt just, my word, putting up a disastrous performance so far has really sunk any and all hope of Isaiah Crowell getting it together this year, any day after that. I know Stephon Diggs is one of those. I liked Adam Thielen as well. I thought he was a really really good target to catch on and get going.
There we go.
Terrell Pryor is one that has gone the opposite direction. We looked at the situation in Washington and knew there were going to be a lot of targets to have, but the opportunity for them to spread the ball around was going to be there. But my word,
yeah, no, that hasn't really worked out at all, has it?
So, Alex, no. Kind of looking ahead to the games this week, we're actually all flying out to Washington this week for a friend's wedding, and we've got tickets for Thursday night football. Can you somehow please paint a picture of how this game is going to turn out into a high-scoring shootout for us?
Lie if you need to.
Yeah, obviously.
the Ravens-Dolphins game is... okay.
We picked a beauty, haven't we?
And we're taking our girlfriends, so we need a good game.
Let's see. How about this? The Matt Moore is obviously going to be starting for the Dolphins and gets them out to a good lead. And for some reason, playoff Joe Flacco from circa 2013 comes back into the fold, and they, you know, Michael Campanaro has 100 yards, and Javorius Allen has 120 yards through the air as well out of the backfield. And it's a beautiful but ugly at the same time shootout.
Amazing. Well, if that happens, we'll certainly give you a shout out and thank you.
So what you're saying there is start your studs on Thursday.
Yes, obviously.
I thought I was going to play a quick game of this guy or this guy for the rest of the season. We kind of for each position, we've kind of got two guys who we kind of get your opinion on who you would rather have.
Who came up with a name for that, Charles?
It was a play on one of Greeny's really imaginative titles, one of his articles he wrote earlier in the year.
Alex, defend me here. They're taking the piss out of me.
Well, who am I defending you over?
yeah, there's no defending that. All right, well, we're going to start with a quarterback because obviously, well, tonight it's the Eagles take on the Redskins and it's Wentz against Cousins. Not necessarily just for tonight, but who would you rather have in fantasy for the rest of the season?
This is a close one, but I think I might lean Wentz. He's just had a bigger penchant for making those big, exceptional plays, you know, escaping the pocket and doing that. Kirk Cousins is delivering in this system as he has the past couple of years, but I think Wentz's ceiling, because of his ability to escape the pocket and freelance a little bit, is higher than Cousins. So okay. I'd lean with him.
Nice. At running back, we've got two guys who were drafted very highly in the second round in most leagues, but have been had a poor start. DeMarco Murray and Jay Ajayi. Who do you reckon the rest of season is going to, you know, deliver more?
I would much rather have Jay Ajayi the rest of the season. DeMarco Murray's been battling a hamstring injury on and off since August, and Ajayi, despite his early season struggles, has been getting a ton of work both on the ground and through the air the last few weeks. And that type of workload is just more often than not going to turn itself into fantasy points.
Fair.
Yeah, we're watching the game, actually. Sorry to butt in. And Matt Moore just, you know, he was on target with his receivers, but he just didn't seem to give Ajayi any opportunity. Do you think hampers him?
Or? They were playing catch up a little bit, but I think this coming week especially, Baltimore has just been gashed on the ground. Jordan Howard went for like 167 against them. Latavius Murray went for over 100 this past week. couple weeks ago, Lev Bell went for well over 100 against them. So I would expect Ajayi to have a really good game, especially if Moore is under center from the outset and not, you know, trying to mount a comeback in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. Wide receiver, we've kind of gone on the injury front. We mentioned Nelson, obviously, now lacking Aaron Rodgers. And unfortunately, Fitzgerald, obviously, now missing Carson Palmer for what looks like the rest of the season. Who would you rather have out of those two?
Definitely Jordy Nelson, just because of his touchdown scoring upside. He's such a great presence in the red zone. And, I mean, Brett Hundley did not look great this week, but I feel better about him being a bit of an unknown quantity than I do about Drew Stanton leading the aging Cardinals offense behind a bad offensive line. That is just, it's a fantasy disaster waiting to happen.
Fair dues. All right, well, let's mix up then. Fitz or Adams?
Fitz or Adams? I still think I'd go with Adams. He's younger, more explosive. He's got plenty of chances to get out there and score again. And he was Hundley's most targeted player in that game against the Vikings, so I'd rely on that more than anything else.
Fair dues. Finally, tight end. We've gone Jimmy Graham or Austin Seferian Jenkins, the kind of the surprise star of this year.
Oh, I think I'd rather go with Austin Seferian Jenkins. He's been getting such consistent volume, and he's scored. You know, he's among the league leaders since he came back from his two-game suspension or whatever at tight end in targets, catches, and touchdowns. So I'd much rather rely on him than that Seattle offense is about to hit its stride, I think, as they do every November and into December. But Graham has been really up and down this year, and there are just so many more other options in that offense as opposed to the Jets, where, you know, are we really worried about Jeremy Curley or Jermaine Kearse totally taking Austin Seferian and Jenkins out of the game? I don't think so.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Anything you wanna plug? Anything we should be looking out for your end?
Well, every Thursday I publish a big breakdown, my fantasy matchups piece. You can find it at NFL.com/fantasymatchups. I go game by game and player by player with start, sit, or flex advice and as many stats and other analysis as I can to contextualize it for you guys. But it's quite a beast, but it's been a lot of fun to read, and it's a great just kind of one-stop shop. You know, if you can't get my ear or anybody else's ear for a start, sit question on Twitter or social media, there's some advice and a case made for every player in there.
Awesome.
I must say also the NFL Fantasy Live podcast is a great listen, so anyone that enjoys our podcast will definitely enjoy that too.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun doing that. There's a lot of BS and a lot of banter, but also a lot of good analysis and takes every week. So it's definitely a good way to get a bit of mirth and actual analysis for your fantasy team.
Awesome. And while we've got you here, we like to play a little game each week, which is play on words of one of our favorite British TV shows. So we're going to play Sneaky Blinders.
I like it.
So this game is we have to name someone who the casual NFL fan who will not be aware of from a fantasy perspective, and this person is likely to come up with a big sneaky 20-point game over the next four game weeks. So dig deep.
Okay.
And we're just going to go around the room, pick someone out who's going to have that week. So maybe just kick it off. JP, who have you got here?
I have got, he's not someone that's completely unknown, I'd say, but he's got the opportunity to make himself a wide receiver one for his team at the Washington Redskins, and that is Josh Doctson. So he's obviously been hampered with injuries since he got drafted. He's had a few targets this year, he's got a couple of touchdowns already, but he hasn't yet seen more than three targets in a game, so I'd be looking for Doctson to really explode in sort of the next few weeks.
That is. Okay. The player I've gone for, I picked him out a couple of weeks ago, but in preparation for this, and hopefully he can do something over the next couple of weeks. But it's Nick O'Leary, the tight end for the Bills. Not necessarily a 20-point game in his future, perhaps, but certainly a tight end one performance in the absence of Charles Clay and any other target at the Bills.
Yeah, he had quite a good week this week, didn't he? Circa 60 yards.
Yeah.
Seemed to be one of the only targets left for Tyrod Taylor. I'm going to go with Austin Ekeler, who's the backup running back for my Chargers. And he scored a touchdown on against the Broncos on Sunday.
And if you take it back to high school, this man is just a monster of touchdowns. So he got, in his final year of high school, he got 2,400 yards and 30 touchdowns. And in college, he got, in total, 5,800 yards and 55 touchdowns. So once the Chargers offense kind of explodes a bit more, because it's been a bit reserved to kick off the season, I see Eckler getting maybe a 2-touchdown game.
Nice.
All right, now does that pass it off to me over here?
There we go. On to you, Alex.
All right, my sneaky blinder will be Jonnu Smith, backup tight end for the Titans. He's an athletic freak. They drafted this year, I think, in the third round. He's actually scored twice already this season on some gadget plays, but with Delanie Walker getting banged up, what could be a pretty serious ankle injury, coming out of the bye, don't be surprised if Jonnu Smith is all of a sudden near the top of the tight end pecking order for a couple weeks there.
I like that a lot. He scored against the Jags. I remember that very well. thanks for your pick and your sneaky blinder, and thanks for talking to us. So we'd love to have you on the podcast again at some point soon. But for now, I think that's all we've got time for. So thanks very much, and we'll chat to you later.
It was my pleasure. And if you guys ever make it as far out as Los Angeles, or if I come on a whirlwind real football tour of the London area again, I'll be sure to hit you guys up.
Definitely.
Fantastic.
Thanks for your time, Alex.
Yep, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Cheers, man.
Great to hear from Gelhar there. Charles, well done there. I thought you led that really well. Very professional of you.
Thanks very much.
Right, next time, don't be so naked. But I don't think he would have noticed.
I got
but
very
we certainly
excited.
Did. No, that was great to hear from Gelhar. We're definitely going to try and get him back on the show later on in the season. Time to look ahead at the Week 8 previews. So lots of teams on their byes this week. Make sure you swap out the relevant players in your teams. We've got the Cardinals, the Packers, the Jags, Rams, Giants, Titans, all on their byes. So lots of teams who are getting some time in the... What do they do? Sit in the sauna and watch the other games. Watch Red Zone, maybe. Thursday night game, which we are at, which is the Ravens against the Dolphins. Charles, who is your banker in this game? Who is guaranteed to excite us at the game?
My banker, it's similar to what Alex was saying. I think that Ajayi is going to be back, even though he's been really poor this year. The running game against the Ravens, who have been very porous, as we like to use in this segment. I think that Ajayi could have a big game. So if you're worried about him and his poor start, don't be. This is the week he turns it around.
So just reiterating what Gelhar then said about only 30 seconds ago.
Well, I gave him a shout out, but I picked this before we are cool with him.
How do we know?
The beauty of podcasting. You will never know.
We will literally see a Brit in the end zone.
Fingers crossed.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. JP, who's the tanker in this one?
Most players from both
Most
teams.
Most players. Good.
It's just a horrible game.
Glad we spent money on that ticket.
You should really try and cheer up, mate. I mean, all you have is just negativity. I know you're maybe trying to belittle it so you have some semblance of, you know, surprise when something happens, but come
on,
let's
bringing everything down to the Browns' horrid
level. Yeah, we're not seeing the Browns. You could have been going to Twickenham this weekend. So
at least, I think there'd be some excitement, some interceptions,
a 9-all draw.
I mean, I'm gonna go with Jarvis Landry. I think he's been good the last couple of weeks, but I think this is his down game on a short week.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Sad to hear it as an owner of Landry, but I can see that as well. Greeny, who's your cheeky pick?
Yeah, so the Ravens actually have quite a solid defense, but I'm going Kenny Stills. He got 2 touchdowns in Matt Moore's return to the lineup, and then also when Matt Moore took over as the number one quarterback towards the end of last season, Kenny Stills got a touchdown in every game.
Yeah.
So he's now on 6 in 5 games in the Matt Moore and Kenny Stills connection. So I look to see Matt Moore targeting early and often.
What a blossoming relationship that one is. Sunday.
Kenny Stills, the boring man that we saw. He gave out a shout earlier. You've changed your tune on him.
Sunday, there's a game at Twickenham, which we obviously won't be at because we're going to be in America, if we haven't mentioned that enough times. And it is your Browns, JP. But I'm going to start with you, Greeny. Who's the banker in this one, in the Browns against the Vikings?
So I'm going to assume here that Diggs doesn't play because generally, you know, they don't really have injured players travelling all the way to London. And if they do, they generally don't start.
So you're going to put Diggs as your disappointment of the week.
I've gone with Thielen then, who's the number two wide receiver. The Browns get shredded. Their cornerbacks are quite poor. I expect a good game.
Okay, Charles, who's the tanker in this one?
The tanker is, both Murray and McKinnon, whoever is going to be the lead running back for the Vikings. I mentioned that the Browns have actually got a good run defense, and I think McKinnon had a great couple of weeks since Cook went down. Murray had a big week this week, but I think that's going to stop. I think the Browns are going to shut them down and make the Vikings beat them in the air.
Okay, JP, who's your cheeky pick? Is there any ray of sunshine of your Browns?
No.
No, okay.
Oh, come on.
Okay, no, I'm gonna go with the tight end for the Browns, not Njoku. I'm gonna go with Seth DeValve.
It's a great name.
Njoku is clearly the more talented tight end. He's got a few touchdowns already this season, but for some reason he's just not getting on the field enough. And DeValve's been getting targets, and I think with Xavier Rhodes shutting down all wide receivers, not that the Browns really have any to shut down. I think the tight end could be in a good spot for the Browns.
Belittling Higgins.
The other games are at 5 o'clock for 1 week only. Is that something to do with the sun, or is that just a random change of time? Anyone know the reason?
Yeah,
for that?
They just do their time change a week before.
Oh, the clocks are changing. That's really throwing everything out for me because I don't know about the time difference. But anyway,
I do like how it says the games are now at 5, and then it says Sunday 5:30 on our running order.
It's at 5 p.m.
Greeny doing his best to throw me, but I'm a professional Greeny. I shan't be thrown. So at 5:30 on Sunday, the Patriots play the Chargers. I'm actually going to go straight to Greeny because he's a Chargers fan. Tanker Greeny, who's going to struggle in this one?
I realised I hadn't, I think this is a really hard one because I think, whilst the Patriots have struggled as defence, they've kind of come off four in the last few weeks, and it could be a high scoring game or it could be a low scoring game. So I'm struggling with this one.
Fantastic insight. Yeah.
I'm going with Brandon Cooks. He's become the favourite target for Brady the last few weeks, but he may be shadowed by Casey Hayward. He may be pressured by Brady might be pressured by Bosa and Ingram and not be able to get the ball out of his hands to do those long throws. So
okay, JP, who is the banker in this game, Patriots Chargers?
The banker is going to be one of my favorites, Chris Hogan. He's had a couple of down weeks, a couple of quiet weeks, but stick him in and it's gonna be a high scoring game. Hogan for the touchdown.
Okay, Charles, here's your cheeky pick.
My cheeky pick is the rookie, Mike Williams. He has done very little this year. He got injured, so it's not his fault. But I think, even though the Falcons didn't get much going this week against the Patriots, they have still been very poor defensively, and Rivers will be throwing the ball around a lot. And I think Mike Williams might get himself his first touchdown of his NFL career.
Okay,
glad to see that.
Nice shout. Look out for that one. Sunday, 8:25 p.m. The Seahawks play the Texans. Back to you, Charles. Who's the banker in this?
I think it's going to be quite a low-scoring affair. The Seahawks have got
a good defense.
Yeah, and Texans have got a good defense. But I think I'm going to go Miller. I think it's a bold shout, but I think that with the Legion of Boom, shutting down the corners, I think. Hopkins and the other guy, what's his name? Will Fuller. I completely had a mind blank there.
We'll make that the intro.
And Will Fuller might struggle this week, and they'll have to rely a bit more on Miller in a closely fought contest.
Time to go to our other guy, which is JP, who's the tanker.
Remembered my name. Yeah. I think it's going to be Deshaun Watson this week. The big test for him. He's been unbelievable since he's come in the starting role for the Texans, but can he do it against one of the elite defences of the NFL? We shall see.
He didn't do very well against the Jags.
Moving on to Greeny, who's your cheeky pick in this one?
Yeah, it might be a low-scoring game, but Russell Wilson likes to extend plays and he likes to take shots. And Paul Richardson has been coming up with some big plays.
Huge touchdown.
Huge touchdown against the Giants yesterday. It certainly could be on the cards for a 50-yard TD grab in the corner.
Yeah, that was a bit of a weird one because he caught it this week, and but Landon Collins also seemed to catch it, but just the ruling on the field gave it to Richardson. They couldn't take it away because
they couldn't prove otherwise.
Yeah, but
in my view, it was an interception.
Yeah, it was a weird one. They both seemed to catch it. It was a really weird one.
And Landon Collins seemed to just grab out of his hands and wrestle control of it, and it was just weird to give the touchdown. But
that Landon Collins is really good. I was watching quite a lot of that game. He's amazing. There was a bit in that game where he did like a wrestling move on, I think it was Tyler Lockett. He just picked him up over his shoulder and dumped him to the floor. It was incredible. It was
WWE
like
WWE style.
It was a tombstone.
Yeah, it was amazing. Even like I was like, Jade was like, "Is that allowed?" Is that it was there. It was incredible.
Oh, that's why they call him the Chest.
God, I remember The Undertaker. Do you remember that, those days?
Kane. The Undertaker.
So good. The late Monday game sees the Chiefs against the Broncos. JP, who's the banker in this one?
I'm going to go with Tyreek Hill. Scary to play your wide receivers against the Broncos. They've got, you know, another elite defense, great corners. But Hill can be used so effectively in so many different ways. So I look out for the Chiefs to do that and to get Hill involved.
Greeny, your tanker?
Yeah, I've actually gone Tyreek Hill.
We do this a lot.
I think it's about 50-50 based on what's been going on recently. The Broncos have the best defense in the league. So it's really going to be hard for Tyreek to get some space, but it could be possible.
We'll see
how
that unfolds. And finally, Charles, who's the cheeky pick in the final one of our games?
I'm going to go AJ Derby. I think the Broncos' offensive line has been really struggling, and Simeon hasn't really been allowed to wait too long for plays to develop. And I think dump-offs to the tight end might happen quite frequently in this game. And like we mentioned, the Chiefs' defence isn't what it has been over the last 5 years with the safety Eric Berry gone, and there'll be a few gaps in that secondary for some plays to be made.
Good shout. Okay, time to sit back, relax, and hear from Greeny's top three. Or Dan's top three. I still don't know which one is it?
Greeny. I don't know. We're 18 episodes in.
Greeny's.
It's Greeny's, okay.
Yeah. Whatever. All right, so last week's episode, we talked about the Harvard to Harvard connection of Fitzpatrick to Bray, both for the Bucks, and we also had Charles doubt the intelligence of said NFL players. So here's the top three is the list is the intelligent NFL players that are
brilliant
in the NFL and their accomplishments.
So there are three of them. So my point is stands.
And two of them are actually not in the NFL anymore. So we talk about Fitzpatrick, and one of the ways to actually measure the intelligence of NFL players is the Wunderlich test, which they do straight as part of the combine. And it's a 50-question exam over in a 12-minute period, and it's rated out of 50. So Fitzpatrick actually holds the record for the highest in NFL history. He got 49 out of 50.
You'd hope so if he'd graduated from Harvard.
But there's quite a lot of players who come from Harvard. We also mentioned Bray, but Desmond Bryant, I think he's still at the Browns, or he was at the Browns.
Des Bryant.
They've all got the same Desmond.
Desmond, yeah. Tutu.
But Ben Watson...
He got a 2-2 from
No one gets a 2-2.
From the...
But Ben Watson, not the current Watford midfielder, but the Ravens tight end. And he was drafted by the Patriots in the first round back in 2004 and won the Super Bowl in his first year. He scored 48 in the Wunderlich, which is only 1 point behind Fitzpatrick. And he's alleged to have an IQ of 170, which is only 10 behind me. Number two is John...
Fake news.
How do you test your IQ?
IQ test.
Can you do it online?
I mean, that's literally IQ test.
Is it an official one, or is it just like a stupid online thing?
I don't know. I think your IQ is quite low if that was a question.
I think the four of us should do the Wunderlich.
I want to know the official way to do the IQ.
We could do the Wunderlich.
Can you do it?
The Wunderlich?
You can do it online.
Do you just have to lick your neck or something?
One lick, two lick, three lick, four.
If that's what you want to do.
In which case, it's a test I'm willing to fail.
I won't rate you very highly. But
please move on to number two.
Before we move on, I was going to say the Wunderlich. I was looking at some players currently in the NFL and their Wunderlich scores. And Lee's favourite, who we're going to the wedding, Frank Gore, measured a 6.
Oh my God.
Wow. Really?
And the average is about
20. Did he spell his name wrong?
Frank Gary? Who's that? Yeah, so the average is around 20, and you'd expect quarterbacks to get over 20. So number two on this list is John Urschel, who actually retired in the summer, this summer, at the age of 26, and he was a guard and centre for the Ravens. He is a Canadian mathematician and had a paper published in the Journal of Computational Mathematics. Wow. He has also started competing in chess tournaments, which you would like, Adley.
Oh, yeah, I do like that.
And finished 12th in the 2015 Pittsburgh Open.
Just ahead of me in that chess tournament, which I never miss.
And number one is Myron Roll.
Say again?
Myron Roll.
Okay, there we go.
He was drafted as safety in the sixth round of the 2010 draft by the Titans. He was a Rhodes Scholar in the 2009-2010 academic year, earning a master's in medical anthropology at Oxford.
Mm. Wow.
At high school, he edited the school newspaper, played saxophone in the band, and starred in Fiddler on the Roof.
Very nice.
Not the original that was made before he was born.
Not with Tevye. he retired from the NFL in 2013 because he was deemed too smart for football.
What does that even mean?
That's what they told him. Yeah, it's not that you're crap. Yeah. You're just too smart.
Honestly, mate, you want to go out there and be a professor. That's what you really want to do. You don't want a massive mansion, loads of women. What do you want?
He was probably like, you know, they were saying, go do man-to-man marking. He was like, well, I've done the physics.
Theoretically, yeah. We should be playing a zonal.
He can't have been that smart if you believe that excuse of being sacked.
And he has since written some articles for our very own Guardian and is now a neurosurgery resident at Harvard. And he was voted the number two most intelligent sportsman in a recent study.
Do you know who number one was?
I feel like that's the question.
Yeah. You're not going to know.
Yeah, no, I did look it up. It's a current baseball player.
Gritty, you know what you've just done is the classic pose of someone who doesn't know the answer. Yeah. To explain it, you've put one hand kind of on your hip and one hand literally scratching the top of your head and gone, oh, I think it's a baseball player.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Adley, is this you studying behavioural science now?
Yeah, well, as your Guardian little article. Do you know.
He's too smart to do podcasts.
Exactly. Yeah. Too busy winning Pittsburgh chess tournaments. I enjoyed that thoroughly. Thank you very much, Greeny. Time for us to pick our top picks of the week. This is where you've been shamed comes from. So listen out for who we picked. Quarterbacks this week. We're not allowed to pick any of the top lot. You know the rules. I've gone for Andy Dalton this week.
I knew everyone would
because he's playing the Colts, who are dreadful.
Have you gone for him, Greeny?
No, I haven't. I've gone Carson Wentz.
He was my other person, but I thought he is one of the, I think it's the fourth or fifth highest scoring quarterback. So if
everyone else has said Dalton,
we'll give you that though.
If everyone else says
you need
Dalton,
a win. You need a win.
He's playing the 49ers.
If everyone else said Dalton, I'll mix up and go Rivers against the Patriots.
Okay.
But Dalton is the obvious answer, isn't he?
At running back, I've actually gone with what's probably a stupid pick, but I've gone Frank Gore. Because I think it's
Mr. 6 out of 50.
Yeah, I think
Gary. And that was before he had 15 years playing running back in the NFL.
I think it's time that Gore had a bit of a game that was above his 6 to 10 point
that's
range.
That's who he is these days.
I know he is, but I just feel the faith against the Bengals. I just can see Gore getting around a 15 to 16 pointer.
Fair.
Why not? JP, who's your running back?
I've gone for a relatively safe one here that I'm sure will come back to bite me. But I've gone for Mark Ingram. He's started to get into the groove, scoring touchdowns.
I think he looked quite good yesterday.
He's got 25 and 20 in the last 2 weeks, so I think, that's a safe
pick.
What
a bold shout.
Yeah, it's a bold shout.
I mean, he's not one of the top five scorers, and he certainly wasn't picked in the first
three,
four
rounds.
Yeah, but
that was before AP. We're going
10 and 10 for running
back. We'll allow that.
We'll let you have it, but that's a warning.
Charles, who have you gone for?
I've gone for Le'Veon Bell. No, I'm joking. I've gone for Joe Mixon against the Colts. Again, I think these days, I think whoever's playing the Colts, you know, it's going to be...
Are your wide receiver and tight end players who play for the Bengals?
They're not actually.
He picked the tight end that plays against the Browns.
I do indeed.
Gone for Rudolph.
Yes, right, I have.
Okay. So predict.
Greeny, who's your running back?
I've gone Deion Lewis, and he's become a bit more of a favourite for Bill Belichick as Gillislee has faded back. They're playing the Chargers. The Chargers have one of the worst rushing defenses. It's getting a bit boring picking against the Chargers, but I hope it blows up
CJ
in their
Anderson
face.
And didn't like do too well, did it?
Demaryius Thomas, yeah. No, well, no one did well. No one did well. It was a shutout.
Wide receiver, I've gone for kind of
pairs up with your Wentz pick. I've gone Jeffrey, and I know that he's, you know, that their main guy, but hasn't had a massive game. Agbon Lahore's had a big season. Everywhere else in Philadelphia,
I feel like he could have a big game. We're obviously recording this on Monday, so he hasn't played against the Redskins, but Josh Norman's out, so
yeah, I think he's due a couple of beastly games, so I've gone for my boy Alshon Jeffrey, or Greeny's boy, really. JP,
well, I don't know if I mentioned, but resurrected the career of Amari Cooper last week. Yeah. So next week I'm going for Terrell Pryor.
Okay, time to resurrect some more careers.
Yeah, I think he.
Good for me and Adley because we've got Cooper and Pryor. So, you know, work your magic on our whole roster week by week, please.
That'd be lovely.
No, I think that's it, hopefully. I hope you're right because it's been a really disappointing start. So
it has been. It has been.
Charles,
I'm going to go Keenan Allen. Mixing up with Rivers in that same game, I think.
You've gone for the stack.
I've gone for the stack. That's what I have done indeed. And I think he hasn't got a touchdown this year, I don't think, Alan. He came mighty close this week on catching a...
Has he not? I thought he had one.
Might have made that up. He certainly did get a catch.
A catch. He has had one
at least a catch.
Okay, yeah. But I think he
we're getting more vague by the minute. He has definitely played in a game.
Yeah, he is alive. No, I think he'll have a good week this week.
Okay, and Greeny, who's your wide receiver?
Yeah, I talked about him before. I'm going Kenny Stills. Wishful thinking, perhaps, but...
Okay. Mr. Boring.
And finally, our tight ends.
Me or Kenny?
I've gone for Julius Thomas of the Dolphins playing, I've said against the Ravens, but that's actually... Now I'm getting confused with week 7 and week 8 because it's kind of recording on a Monday. It's all very confusing for someone like me with a licking neck score of 5. that I've gone Julius Thomas. JP?
I have gone for Hunter Henry this week. He's quickly turning into Phil Rivers' favourite target.
No, that's a good shout. I like it.
Charles, you've gone for the Patriots playing the Browns?
I have. I mean, I think Kyle Rudolph has been looking good this season anyway, and especially with Diggs out. So
every week you've gone for the tight end.
And what with it approaching Christmas and everything.
Yeah, exactly. Rudolph, the red nose monster, as Greeny called him.
Greeny?
But I think, yeah, he'll have a good game.
Yeah, the guy you said this week, Jason Witten. He's got a good matchup against the other team in the NFL.
Following all of my picks.
Who are the other team?
The other guys.
I think the Redskins.
I know we were worried about this podcast getting to such a high level of analysis that we were starting to shut out the lesser knowledgeable few, but I think we're reading to up our game a little bit.
Greeny, you're too clever.
We'll edit it in
It's
post.
What happens on a Monday.
Exactly.
Record on a Monday.
Yeah. It's too far away now. They're playing Washington. I think there's a high-scoring game opportunity.
Okay, cool. Time to round up today's show by looking at some emails, tweets, questions and shout-outs. Do we have any morning glory to speak of, JP? Did you have any morning glory?
Well,
Brandon Cooks got 60 yards and a touchdown in what was a pretty lowish scoring game, so I was very happy to wake up to that news.
Okay.
As long as Alshon Jeffrey doesn't go absolutely nuts tonight, I should be good.
I think a lot of people had some morning glory because it was such a low scoring game. They were kind of resigned to being overtaken in their matchups, like you said in your listener.
Well, in Greeny and my league in the Bites listener league, we were something like 35 points up, and we were against Matt Ryan, Tevin Coleman, Dion Lewis, Matt Bryan,
Gronk.
Gronk, and we still managed to come away with the win. So
I consider that morning glory.
We're very happy to see that.
All right, what's the opposite of morning glory? Morning floppy. That's what I had when I woke up to see Tevin
Coleman.
Morning
dew.
Tevin Coleman barely alive and Matt Ryan still doing his best to piss on my face. Shout out to any Ravens or Dolphins fans. So if you hear this podcast and you live in Baltimore or Maryland and you're not a complete weirdo, please do come and join us for some drinks beforehand. We're very excited about that. Always good to
Looking
meet people.
Looking forward to the tailgate.
Yeah. We met a lot of Ravens fans at the Jags game and they came out in force and they all seem very, passionate and up for it, so hopefully more of the same in their home city.
Absolutely. Okay, time to look at your questions. We have to quickly mention another game in London. I know we're not here, but we do have to mention, we have briefly touched on it, but the Browns and the Vikings is playing this weekend in London. So if you're going to that, send us some pictures, let us know your stories and who you're going with. Moving on to the first question comes from Georgia Stenning. What two teams would you like to see in London next year? And if they could play in a British stadium of your choosing, where would it be held? This has been assigned to me. So I would have to pick the Eagles as one team. They're my team. And I'm probably going to say against the Packers purely because they're, you know, one of the most exciting teams, one of the most historic. And it would have to be played at my other football team's ground, Barnet, but not their current one. Not the vacuous soulless hive, but Underhill.
I would put every penny I've ever earned on you saying course. Underhill. There.
Was that an attendance of 210?
A maximum attendance of about 5,100 if you're allowed standing.
And you can't see this one of the. You can't yeah, see. But
imagine how amazing that would be.
It would be phenomenal.
But sadly, I think that Tony Kleanthos, the chairman of Barnet, has sold that now to the council, who are busy turning it into flats. So it might be difficult.
any field goal would have gone to neighbouring. Gardens. Yeah.
But I would quite like to see an NFL game in a tiny stadium. That's what I'd like. That would be quite cool, I think. In the same way, it's great to see a gig in a tiny venue.
Yeah. It's like the Coliseum. That would be quite cool.
The
Coliseum in Rome. In Rome is one of the biggest stadiums ever built by man.
The Craven Rams. Cottage of
the Raiders of Stadium.
Right.
Okay. Raiders playing there.
So that's my answer. Tom Bissay says, are the Falcons officially a bad team? And then a hashtag, which I'm not even going to try to.
I really want to see you try it.
Can't fly like a falcon because llama penguin. I am a penguin. Yeah. There we go.
Because
llama penguin.
Because llamas are penguins.
Episode name.
There we go.
That's amazing.
So Charles, can't fly like a falcon because llamas are penguins. are the Falcons officially a bad team?
Greeny spat
everywhere. Yeah.
So a lot of expensive equipment here. To be thrown away.
So lots of llama penguins flying around. The Falcons are a good team. They do not. They don't become a bad team overnight. They've had a couple of poor results, but they've still got phenomenal weapons. Julio Jones, Devonta Freeman are both brilliant. Their defense is actually still good, and they can.
I don't know. Their defense is. Under the radar, being one of the worst in the NFL this year.
And I know, but they've still got players who can bring it back. You know, Vic Beasley was the sack leader last year. He can get back on form, and they've their wide receiver, their cornerback got injured at the end of last year and has struggled.
So they're not a bad team.
No, they're not a bad team.
Your bold shout that they were going to win the division.
I still think they'll win the division, and I still think that they will have a good appearance in the playoffs, and they are a good team.
Okay. Harris, whose handle is Craven43H. Sounds like his password. Isn't it, any chance the Browns win at Twickenham? What would it take for them to win? JP, what would it... let's not say any chance they win, because we know you'll say no, but what would it take for them to win? What would have to happen?
Scoring more points than the other team.
Yeah. No, there's always a chance, and with each week that passes, the optimism at the beginning of the week starts slightly softer, and then as
you don't
the week
seem
goes
very
on,
optimistic.
Yeah. Yeah, as the week goes on, more optimistic, and it's going to happen at some point. They need to settle on a quarterback first.
Yeah.
I think go with Kessler for the rest of the season. Let Kaiser sort of learn the offense of what there is a bit better. Not put him into those pressure situations and get the run game going. And just take the opportunities that come, and the win will be there.
How's the rookie doing? Is it Miles Garrett?
Miles Garrett. He's looking good. Yeah. He's back in. Needs a bit of help.
Okay.
How do they stop the Vikings offense?
Yeah.
They've got to do is sack the quarterback, intercept things, stop letting them run. Yeah. generally, stop them from scoring touchdowns. Well, no, Pete, do you agree?
They'll stop the run quite successfully, I believe. Like I said earlier, and they're luckily, you know, Diggs is out, so they've only got to really worry about Thielen and the tight end Kyle Rudolph.
If Garrett can put some early pressure on Case Keenum.
I think Case Keenum's not an all-star quarterback. He is gettable. He can have a
quite like
game.
Case Keenum though, based on seeing him on Hard Knocks or something.
Yeah, he was.
Just seems quite nice.
All or nothing.
Just him and his wife just seem like quite real.
Yeah,
normal
people.
Don't
really like them.
Final question comes from 10. Cutler and Flacco have been some of the worst non-Brown quarterbacks. And that's non-Browns. I don't want anyone ringing in
non-Cleveland
claiming
Browns.
I'm a racist. Why has Flacco escaped criticism? I think it's actually a fair point. Why has Flacco escaped criticism? Do you think we'll see Cutler again? Greeny, couple of questions in there.
So Flacco was injured to the preseason. It's kind of taken him a while. They didn't sign a replacement quarterback, but if they had someone waiting in the wings, they might have given Flacco a bit more time. But this is what Flacco does. He's a game manager. He doesn't go out there and gunsling every game. He tries to limp the Ravens into the playoffs, and that's where he really comes alive.
Play hard to get, basically. Just
something like
little
that.
Little tease.
Yeah. You know, he managed to carry the Ravens in Ray Lewis's last year to the Super Bowl, which he won. And will we see Cutler again? Sadly, yes. The minute that Cutler has resigned to the quarterback two role will be when he hangs up his boots, and that will just leave the Dolphins a very thin lineup or quarterback roster.
Okay. I actually had a question for you all just to add, a very quick one. And it's kind of getting to the point now where we're 18 episodes into the podcast. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And we've all been watching NFL for various amounts of times. I want to ask you, do you prefer, as a sport now, NFL to football? Do you prefer watching NFL to football, and do you care about your respective teams more than football? So three parts, very quickly. I'm going to start with you, Charles. Do you prefer watching NFL to football?
I mean, no.
Okay.
I've had a season ticket at Spurs. Right,
since so you're
I
off
was
the
4 years
podcast.
Old, and that's why NFL is so difficult to grow. Is because we don't grow up on it. We grow up on football, and
you don't
becomes,
grow up playing it at school.
Yeah.
Soccer,
football is part of our, you know, our upbringing, our culture, our life, and you have to kind of go out of your way to discover NFL. And
but then on that point, it seems to me like the Jags for you are as important as Spurs are.
I feel like I'm spending a lot more time on the NFL because I'm still learning it, and because I'm still learning, you know, there's so much to grasp.
You've
and
got a lot
I'm
to
spending,
learn.
And I'm spending a lot of time on it, and so much so that it's becoming a big part of my life. And to be honest, I'd say following the Jags has been just as, up and down and dramatic as supporting Spurs.
Spurs are too good now anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, I know. That's why I picked the Jags, someone who I kind of like the, not quite the Browns
roller
level,
coaster.
But exactly.
JP, What's more exciting for you, watching Red Zone or watching that kind of waking up and seeing that last minute result from that game, or watching Spurs in the Champions League?
A full game, I'd choose football.
Yeah,
pretty much sort of every time, like, especially if it's Spurs. I love watching that. But in terms of like Red Zone, I get as excited for a Sunday evening to watch Red Zone as I would
a Super Sunday, a football Super Sunday. Yeah,
exactly.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm still, an early Browns fan, and I don't want to get, if Spurs lose on a weekend, it gets to me.
Emotionally affects you, yeah.
The Browns, if I let that happen, I'd be in a depressive
state. You'd probably kill
you,
so you wouldn't be on the podcast next week.
That's true. Okay.
So I can't let it get to me too much. But, seeing them lose in overtime this weekend, I really thought we were going to get that first win. But
you're starting to get there. You're starting to feel it.
Yeah.
Greeny.
Well, you're a newer fan. After a couple, I'm relatively new, only 2 or 3 years. But, it takes time to build up that level of commitment to a team. So,
Speaking of which, Greeny, you've been a fan of NFL probably the longest. What would you say? Where are you on that tipping the balance of football into how many? I mean, you do support a number of football teams. So.
At least eight.
So I've been supporting NFL for about 7-8 years. I've been sport as a English football fan, Sporting United.
And any other team who wins.
And Glasgow Rangers. Too many years of success. And I guess I grew a bit of fatigue just watching so many games of football. Then when I went to the US, I really came back. It kind of rejuvenated my love of watching sport all weekend. So I kind of tipped the scale a little bit. I came back to football. I'm kind of toying. It's difficult to really follow the Chargers so heavily because they just let you down very frequently. It's hard, and with the move, it's even harder. But it's about as far as where's Manchester to me now. So
yes,
that is true. Okay, now it's interesting. I feel like I watch a hell of a lot of football, UK football. That is, I'm a Barnet fan. I go less now because Tony Kleanthos has made it way too expensive. But although I feel like I now look out for the Eagles games probably more than Barnett. Maybe that's because of the podcast, I don't know. But it's interesting to kind of see the balance. It'd be interesting to hear, listeners, have you kind of gone on that journey from football through to NFL, and now do you actually care a little bit more about your NFL team? I don't
Is
know.
Is it because the Eagles are doing
well? It's basically because the Eagles now are amazing.
One year of success.
It's kind of circa, I don't know when it was, 2000 or something. Whenever it was, when I was supporting Barnett and we were just winning every game in the conference and I was going home and away and it was amazing.
Is that a Chapman game you're talking about?
No, that was real life. It was
Dwayne Lee.
It was. Oh, I could name that whole team, but I won't. Let's finish off with our trivia question from our engineer, Charlie.
All right, guys.
Hey, yeah.
Doing all right?
Hey, Charlie.
Very good.
Looking forward to the Eagles getting that, was it 6-1 tomorrow will be?
Ooh. Well, let's not get carried away, but it would be 6-1.
I'm getting carried away, I'm at that stage now.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so you know the score. Your topics this week are Animal Kingdom, Back to School, or True or False?
Animal Kingdom.
Let's go. Animal Kingdom, Attenborough's out soon. Yeah. Blue Planet, there you go. Part 2, yeah.
Righty, so this is actually a two-part question. So whoever gets the first bit closest gets an opportunity for a bonus point.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay.
How many current teams' logos feature an animal in their design?
Oh, God.
It's got to be a lot.
So it's not the team name, it's the logo.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to go 13.
I was going to go 13.
I'm going to go 15.
Weird.
I'm going to say 19.
It's 13.
Yes!
Boom!
Charles and Greeny get
Greeny copied me,
bonus.
So there we go.
Do you want me to go through them, or should we just skip over them?
We'll tweet them out.
Sure.
Yeah. Let's hear the bonus.
You can do that, Charles.
So, you guys, I don't know. I suppose you can both do the bonus point. For a bonus point, how many of those animals have legs?
Oh, wow. So a dolphin doesn't have legs.
Well, no, it's not how many of those animals have legs. On the logo, how many have legs?
Oh,
I think it's best you just make a guess.
Yeah. Oh, right. Six? I'd say two.
Oh. We've had 6 and 2, Charlie.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear Dan's. It's 3.
Oh, I almost was perfect there.
So Falcons, basically in the middle of Charles and Greeny there.
The Falcons, the Bills and the Lions have legs and that's it.
Oh, yeah. Well, there we are. I'm pretty pleased with myself. There we go.
You love a logo, Charlie, don't you?
I do love a logo.
We need to get you a logo.
Logo is a brilliant part of the game because there's so much... Like,
I think this is where we end the podcast.
Yeah, it's the
I hope our fans aren't such visual fans as well because they wouldn't bode well for us.
Okay, thanks for listening and we will see you on the flip side of the US. Awesome. So yeah, thanks for
remember
listening.
Remember to tweet us?
Oh, I forgot about that. JP, you take it away.
Remember to tweet us at Brits_endzone. Go on to our blog, BritsEndzone.com, or email us.
And Instagram us at BritsEndzone. Something
good
like
shout
that.
Out.
Yeah. Also, I'd take this moment to say good luck, guys. I won't be on the next couple of episodes because I'm staying in America a little bit longer than you guys.
The American road trip dream,
unbelievable.
Yeah. So good luck, guys. And
good luck to you, Charles.
See how it goes. Cheers.
Okay.
Thanks very much. See you guys.
Let's get scheming.
Bye.